The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. I certainly appreciate y'all coming in on this Monday. It is February 15th. I don't know what you did on, was it last night or Valentine's Day or maybe over the weekend. I went to dinner on Saturday night, and we did the 6:15. Figure we'll get in, we'll get out. We'll let everybody else, you know, do their thing a little later. So I hope you had a good Valentine's Day, and we are back talking. Like I said, middle of February, haven't had a game in a month. Signing day's been gone 2 weeks. Don't even have spring practice starting really anywhere yet. No spring. So much news to get to.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
Headline, UCF football hires Gus Malzahn. He is the new head coach for the Knights program. He's 55 years old. He was fired about 2 months ago. 8 seasons at Auburn, including an appearance in a national championship game, an SEC championship as well. And so he had success on the Plains, but he got himself fired and started making wrong decisions about quarterbacks and offensive line. And he's a really good coach who got away from what made him distinctive. And it was pace and tempo and everything. Well, everybody does it now. There was still an advantage to being you. And so now Gus is moving on. And congratulations to UCF, how they've negotiated this entire past month and a half. Headline. Ducks quarterback Shuck moving on as grad transfer. That'd be Tyler Shuck, pilot in the Quack Attack this past year. Oregon played 7 games. He started all 7 of them. And the kid can play, but he also has 3 years of eligibility remaining, and he doesn't want to sit around behind another transfer, Anthony Brown, late of BC, who is kind of thought to be in the mix. Whatever. He graduated. He did what you're supposed to. And he's got 3 years of eligibility left. Headline, former Alabama kicker transfers to Vanderbilt. That'd be Joseph Bulovas. Awesome for Vanderbilt. If you can take any player from the Alabama roster, awesome for Vanderbilt. Dan, do you imagine that if you told Clark Lee, we're going to put all 85 Bama players on scholarship into a hopper? Do you think Bulovas is the last guy that Clark Lee would have pulled out if he had a choice?
I mean, does the long snapper have a scholarship?
No. No, at Bama, maybe. Yeah, Joseph Bulovas, and that's nothing against him. He's a good enough kicker, and Vanderbilt just got better. And obviously the academic concerns don't concern him very much. So rock on, Bulovas. He is heading to Vanderbilt. Headline, Urban Meyer expected to hire key staffer from South Carolina. Shane Beamer has had fits and starts over the last 2 months. And keeping his staff, he's hired and then had other coaches in the NFL and whoever else pull him away. It is now being reported, this is footballscoop.com, that Drew Hughes is heading to the Jags to work for new coach Urban Meyer and the GM Trent Baalke. Drew Hughes was South Carolina's director of player personnel for a little more than a year. He left Tennessee before things started going sideways on Pruitt. So there you go. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Continuing Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. I hope y'all are all having a great start to the week. We got Jason Caldwell coming up. Jason Caldwell. We've had him on, too. But Jason Caldwell coming up bottom of the hour, about 15 minutes from now, talking Auburn and the Auburn end of things with the Gus Malzahn firing about 2 months ago now. And now Brian Harsin, of course, with his whole staff in place and post-signing day and talking position changes and everything else on the plains. We are bouncing around to different programs, doing a state of the program ahead of spring practice. And those dates have been announced as well. So just plenty to talk about. We'll have Jason Caldwell, our good friend, on bottom of the hour. We got a dang nice college football season, I believe. And almost nobody was happy. Not at the end of it. And adding a round of playoffs has changed everything about how the previous 4 months is received. Again, there's the most giant asterisk in my lifetime because I wasn't around for the 1918. What was that, Spanish flu? Everybody wearing the mask and, you know, don't spit. You could transfer it. So I wasn't alive then. And so the most challenging 4 months in which to play a college football season in my life, yep, that's what it was. And I thought we got a pretty good season. And I realized I was doing some, just over the weekend, I at the most high level, I say, you know, bird's eye or flyover. Folks, this is satellite image. Over the weekend, I said, just where is each program, fan base, the coaching staff, where are they mentally right now? And outside of the fact that there were games and that Saturdays mostly seem like Saturdays, except on kickoffs when like the TV angle showed the stands, other than that, not many of us were happy, folks. Here's the scorecard. And I'm gonna name to you in Power Five, and I'll leave somebody out. Or if you think I leave, like I'm not gonna say North Carolina or Miami, and don't think I left them out. And then I don't know what to do with FSU. But I'm about to go through each of the Power Five conferences, and I'm just gonna quickly just name the programs that have legitimate August expectations for something beyond a division or even a conference, possibly. A program that has a legitimate expectation many seasons of, hey, we're at least a New Year's Six Bowl contender, and we really want – you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to say Purdue. I'm not going to say Arizona or Texas Tech. Programs with real legitimate beyond their conference hopes. Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Sorry, Nebraska. Clemson, Virginia Tech, and I don't know what to do with FSU, but I'm throwing them on there. They don't have them right now, and they shouldn't, and they haven't, but they will. They're the weirdest program on here. UF, Georgia, Bama, LSU, A&M. Sorry, Auburn. OU, Texas, Oklahoma State. And by the way, Oklahoma State's a little delusional. They think they should, and so that they have decided that they will. And then Oregon, Washington, USC, and I'm going to say Stanford, because Stanford understands our way works. Out of all 130, and Notre Dame, out of all 130 schools, and the probably 20 that I named, and I didn't say that had a real shot to win the national championship, folks. I said, I think I named about 20 programs there that have, on a mostly year-to-year basis, legitimate aspirations outside of their division or maybe even the conference. There's about 20 of them. Out of the 110 schools I didn't name, folks, out of the 20 that I did, Bama was happy. Ohio State was satisfied. A&M, for the most part, was okay. Everybody else hated the season. Everybody else with legit goals that extended beyond their conference slate or possibly a rivalry. Do you realize there are some programs? They truly, if you get them in the room of truth, they truly exist on the rivalry game. Like Oregon State, they want to go to the Rose Bowl, and they may have. Terry Baker won a Heisman back there, and y'all don't care. So Oregon State wants to go to the Rose Bowl. No, I'm sorry. Oregon State wants to win a Natty. But if Oregon State can go like 4-7 and beat the Ducks, I don't know, Dan, pretty good offseason in Corvallis?
Oh, I mean, backflips.
Absolutely. We ain't even got y'all's money. So, folks, everyone else with bigger goals than winning a rivalry game or we won the East, Bama was happy. I said Ohio State was satisfied. You know a way to put that? Like Ryan Day, he gets it. He looked at the game and he was like, yeah, that was about the best it was going to turn out. Understand that the team that lost to maybe the college football team I've been more impressed with than any team in history, that's who Ohio State, because of what Bama did this season, I've never been more impressed with a college football team. Ohio State lost to that bunch. Bama, heck yeah, we're happy. Ohio State, who finished second to an undefeated all-time team, Ohio State's like, yeah, we get it. Folks, the other 128 have a lesser version of that. Texas A&M, for the most part, was okay, but they wanted to mount an argument that somehow they got screwed by the playoff committee, but they couldn't even really pull it off with a straight face. Everybody else got a crap burger and a side of poo. Every other – how is that possible? Ask an Oregon fan, hey, what'd you think of the season? I'd try not to. Ask an LSU fan. There was a nice little warm fuzzy, actually, a couple of them. And the fact that one of them came because a Florida player acted like a moron, that made it even sweeter. Like when you win a game on a blown call by the zebra or a potential all-conference guy winging a cleat 20 yards downfield, there's just a special kind of warm fuzzy for that. Even with, I don't know, Dan, you come from an LSU family. You kind of got a little bump at the end, but you're not happy with 2020, are you?
Overall, no. But the fact that they weren't going to go to a bowl game, which any bowl game would have gone to, would have been terrible. And that was everything all in one. We ruined their season and also, too, got a huge win at the end of the year and something to send yourself off into the offseason on a high note.
Okay. And so what was 2020 for LSU fans?
Not great.
Folks, it was only partly because of the pandemic. And by the way, I just asked Dan about LSU. I could ask David about Western Kentucky or Ohio State. I'll tell you about Auburn, you know, whoever. All right, we got Jason Caldwell coming on. We'll ask him about Auburn or anybody. Anybody I could ask you about, we all have a COVID story about our program. All of us. And it's only partly what I'm talking about. This is a result of playoffs. And I said that they added a round. They added another round. There was no round of, I used to call it a two-team playoff. Folks, they were not playoffs. There was a championship game. folks who run college football, they added one round of playoffs, two games. They have devalued the four-month chase for everybody except Alabama. What is a Clemson fan right now? Ask a Clemson fan, hey, what do you think about the 2020 season? I was like, those aren't words. Those were noises. Well, that's what I think about the season. If you're not in the playoffs, your season fell short, Georgia. If you're not in the playoffs, Florida, why'd you waste my 4 months? If you're not in the playoffs, Oklahoma, why do you keep insisting you play big-time football? If you're not in the playoffs, anybody in the Pac-12, it doesn't matter. You've got Pac-12 teams going, dang, Rose Bowl again? If you're not in the playoffs, your season fell short. If you make the playoffs but not the title game, you got some serious looking in the mirror to do. That's Clemson right now. Clemson's looking around going, hey, we got to have some come to Jesus here. We're not a team that – finish the sentence, folks. We're not a team that loses in the semifinals. Finish the sentence. Clemson, we're not a program that doesn't make the final two. If you make the title game but lose, you're in an okay place, maybe depending on five other storylines heading into the offseason, because you know we're just a play away or a player away or a coach away or something. That's college football, and the champ is ecstatic. Otherwise, everyone with any legit level of expectation failed. Folks, Tom Herman got fired because of this. I dare say, what were they, 7-3 in the regular season? I don't think it was they could have won one of the games they lost. It was the Oklahoma game that would have changed things. And I don't know that it would have changed things, though, if it wasn't Oklahoma. Well, what are we doing? Well, against the pandemic, that thing going around the world right now, against that and 10 opponents, this is how your season wound up. Tom Herman got fired in part because of this. In part because he about 40% ticked off the alumni and 40% ticked off the fans and 40% ticked off the players and 40% ticked off the administration. Nobody was really put out with him, but enough people with competing interest all had the same, yeah, I'm not really thrilled with him. Everything with the eyes of Texas and the singing or not, or you have to. And you wind up with half the roster going, I thought we weren't going to sing it. And you've got a 22-year-old quarterback who actually, he's like, no, we're singing. And all the drama that came with that. This is part of it. The fact that, what are we doing here? Well, you're winning seven games during a global crisis. The most impactful. So I'm going to start the sentence. The most impactful. And then you fill in the blank. Economic, social, health, whatever, event in any of our lives. And 7-3, just not good enough. So if you take inventory yourself, folks, go look through the standings of Division I. And I'm telling, like, I don't have Michigan State on this list because Michigan State doesn't have real, legit expectations beyond the division. In fact, I don't think Michigan State actually has expectations within the division. Like Maryland, ask Mike Locksley, Room of Truth, what do you want to do this year? Win seven, go to a bowl, eight would be awesome. Mike Locksley, Room of Truth, he could coach Maryland for the next 10 million seasons, and he would never say, by golly, we're winning the division this year. That's not the case. So I didn't mention him here. He may have thought the season went well. I'm saying for programs that are actually trying to win something of substance, all but Bama.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Monday. And I've been talking about Jake Bentley and the final stop in his college career, which, barring something really unforeseen, this is going to be his final go-round. Four seasons, three actually playing, taking all the snaps, most of them at least, with his freshman year when he took over for, was that McElwain? Brandon McElwain? And so even taking over then, you looked at Jake Bentley, and it was basically three seasons of starting and then one game against North Carolina and then on to Utah. Well, he decides, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of that last year of eligibility, and he picks South Alabama. He was considered not only an NFL draft prospect, but there was a lot of interest in him. He's got all the size. And the reason I'm talking about him today is when you look at his situation, this is the kind of player that South Alabama would never, ever be able to get straight out of high school. And that is one of the interesting, and I'm going to say fun things, for programs outside of the group that I was just talking about, where I went through, in my opinion, the 20 couple programs, Notre Dame and Michigan and Texas, in Power Five with a real legit shot to think about a national championship, certainly a conference title and maybe even a New Year's Six Bowl, you get a quarterback that is supposed to be playing at one of those programs. Is that South Alabama? It is a chance. Like, you know, I mentioned Tyler Shuck started seven games, all seven that Oregon played this past year. He's in the portal. He's looking for a new home. That's the quality of quarterback that, like, if you look at Northwestern, Hunter Johnson didn't work out for him. But you look at a program like Northwestern getting a five-star quarterback transfer in there, now a four-star with Alinsky as well. So that is the value to the kids. And so, like I said, I got fingers and toes crossed for Jake Bentley. I hope things turn out well for him in his final go-around. I want to head down to Auburn, Alabama now to a man who's covered the Tigers for 20 years for Inside the Auburn Tigers. It is Jason Caldwell. Brother, how are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. How about you?
Doing okay. Did you have an opinion 2 months ago that if Gus was offered a quality job, did you have an opinion if he was interested in coaching this year?
I just know him, and I know a guy who that's what he does, is coach football. That's who he is. And so I didn't have an opinion of whether or not the right opportunity might pop up, but there wasn't much doubt in my mind that he's a guy that's what he wants to do. That's who he is, and so I'm not surprised at all.
If we look at Coach Harsin now with, I believe, all of his staff and off field and strength and conditioning and everything filled out there, we talked to you like during the process when he was almost done, but now that everybody's had a chance to let it percolate a little bit, what's the general feeling about Coach Harsin and the staff he's put together?
I think it's been pretty positive so far. I mean, obviously during this time, pandemic time, it's hard to get to know guys and to get to kind of get a feel for them. But I think the staff he's put together, I think it's a good mix of experience, youth, energy, all those things that you're looking for. Getting guys like Derek Mason and Mike Bobo and Will Friend, and then bringing in, Eason, coach defensive line. To me, there's some really key acquisitions that he made, I think, that are guys that are going to be, really good football coaches at Auburn.
Jason, almost every new coach, especially somebody without a lot of familiarity with the program, but almost every new head coach, you're going to retain one guy from the previous staff just to kind of walk you through the program sometimes, you know, who the kids are, et cetera, what type of kids and players. Were you surprised that that was Cadillac off of the previous staff and not Travis or Rodney Garner or whomever?
No, I think if you're, you know, if you're Brian Harsin, you're the staff, and you go, who's the, maybe the most important person right now to keep? It's probably Cadillac and Tank Bigsby. You know, and I think, you know, the feeling is if you don't have Cadillac, you may not have Tank. And Cadillac's a young up and coming coach, but he's also wasn't a guy that was tied to Gus Malzahn for a long time. So he has a guy that, you know, he's familiar with, you know, the players and those guys, but he's also not, you know, a guy that's totally loyal to the previous staff. His, you know, his loyalty lies with Auburn. And so, you know, it's kind of that balancing act. But I think keeping Tank Bigsby was maybe the most important thing that they had to do in this recruiting class. Of all the guys they signed, you know, he wasn't a signee, but keeping him was vitally important.
So just give me your personal breakdown. I know you've written about it, but the makeup of the coaching staff, and I mean, Coach Harsin addressed it, a bunch of guys from out west, we're going to kind of stretch the boundaries, push the walls of Auburn recruiting, and that is tremendous. If you can be Kirby or Nick Saban and go get a five-star out of California, knock yourself out. Just give me your breakdown about how likely you think that could actually take place for an Auburn fan.
Yeah, I think that you might be able to grab a couple of guys here or there, but your bread and butter is going to be Alabama, Georgia, Florida. That's who you've got to be. And I think that's still where they're going to continue to do that. And I think having, you know, bringing in a guy like Zach Etheridge is important, keeping Cadillac, but you have Cornelius Williams too. You got some pretty strong names in the state of Alabama from that young side of the coaching staff that I think are big. And then obviously you look at Eason in the state of Georgia and Mike Bobo in the state of Georgia. Derek Mason's a guy that gives you a little bit of you know, kind of umph no matter where you send him because of what he's done, who he's been, those kind of things. So I think it's a mix of both. But in the end, if you're Auburn, I think, you know, you start going, man, if I can get a five-star from California, then that's great. But I'm going to spend most of my time recruiting the guys closer to home.
I know that Coach Harsin, I mean, there's no way in 6 weeks or however long he's been on the job, you can develop some deep ties with the high school coaches in Alabama or, you know, Florida Panhandle, wherever. But who on the staff beyond Cadillac do you expect to kind of do that heavy lifting? And what did they really – with those high school relations, you know, the relationships with the high school coaches, what is Auburn transitioning away from? How was Gus on that front?
I think Gus did a pretty good job. But I think you look, and some of the keys for them are guys that are maybe, you know, like I said, I mentioned, you know, Zach Etheridge, who's from Troy, obviously played at Auburn. Cornelius Williams, a guy that you bring in as wide receiver coach, mm-hmm. played at Hoover, coached at Troy. I think as much as anything, keeping a guy like Ross Newton was really important. Ross Newton, dad, Bob Newton was a longtime coach at Homewood. Ross coached at, you know, there, coached at Samford. Very strong ties in the state of Alabama, and he's kind of that high school liaison guy on the staff. He retained him, and to me that was as important as any hire he made, is to keep a guy like Ross Newton on board. So those are the things that you do that maybe aren't technically on-field coaches that people might not realize, but that they're guys that have a big impact.
Wrapping up with Jason Caldwell, get him on Twitter, folks. Follow him, ITAT Jason, 2 decades of covering Auburn for the 24/7 Sports Network. Jason, if you know, you mentioned Tank Bigsby there as, you know, one of the big recruiting jobs, but talk about the rest of the running back room, because you know, maybe an Auburn fan, you got used to seeing 5 or 6 names that were capable and you trusted, and then you look up there and suddenly it's way thin after Tank and Sean Shivers.
I think that's part of the issue. I think there were 5 or 6 names that you looked at and maybe trusted, but you only saw 2. That was part of the issue, and why it looks like it does, is that you never got, you know, those guys didn't get opportunities and never got a chance to really show what they could do. But so it's a little bit of a starting over, but obviously Tank and Sean Shivers there. You know, to get Devin Barrett back, going through spring practice as a running back, which was his recruited position, I think is a big deal for Auburn. It gives you a 3rd scholarship back, and then obviously, you know, you have a signee coming in, late signee from Mississippi, who a guy that I think he's a guy that can bring them some big play potential there. But yeah, no, it's a quite a different running back room, and obviously Tank's going to be a guy that is going to be leaned on pretty heavily next year.
You know, I think I have heard you say you saw Bo Nix play as far back as eighth grade. It wouldn't surprise me, like, if you actually, you know, quote, met the kid when he was an infant, for gosh sakes, given, you know, Patrick being around the program, whatever. But knowing him and his skill set as well as you do, he is so talented, Jason. How does he become consistent? And he's got to, I think, learn, if that's the right word, some of the good habits that maybe he showed up with a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, a few things there that go with it. I think first thing is it's a different offense, and I think it's a different offense that, in my opinion, is going to be one that's tailored more toward helping the quarterback succeed in the passing game. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks succeed in the passing game under Gus Malzahn, but it was almost exclusively guys that were big-time runners that, you know, had an offensive line that was paving the way for, you know, chunks of yardage on the ground, even in games with those guys. I mean, Cam Newton, you think back to the 2010 Iron Bowl, the struggles they had on offense because they couldn't run it. Think back to Nick Marshall, that's as good a running quarterback as you'll find. Georgia said, we're not going to let you run it, and they held Auburn to 7 points because they couldn't throw it. And to me, that's the key under Gus Malzahn offense, is you got to run to be able to throw. Now you have an offense where I think it's going to be a little bit more, you know, designed and been built around the quarterback throwing the football more instead of the running game. And so I think that's something that could help Bo. And then obviously, you know, some things he needs to improve on. But hey, as we saw in the Super Bowl, you can be the best quarterback of your generation and you know, take away the offensive line in front of you, and all of a sudden everything goes away. We saw that happen to Patrick Mahomes. Got to get better up front and build around some of those guys to help out. And then Bo has to do his part, improve, and keep working on some of those things that he needs to get better at.
All right, Jason, just real quick, a couple of guys on defense, individuals I want to ask you about. Colby Wooden, holy smokes. Didn't take him long to say, yeah, I'm a ball player. What do you think is the blue sky for him his second year?
Yeah, I really like him heading into a second year, potentially as a 3-4 defensive end. I think that's something that could really open up his game. And, you know, I think back to, you know, those Alabama defenses in the early 90s, the 3-4s, and the guys they had at defensive ends, the Eric Currys and those guys that were 285, long, lean guys that's still athletic, but could you know, kind of hold down the gap but also get pressure. To me, I look at him and Zacchaeus Walker as two guys that might be really good fits in a 3-4 type system, you know, under Derek Mason.
Last guy I want to ask you about, and this is just kind of a softball here. Did you know Zakobi McClain could be that good as he was last year?
Yeah, he's a downhill guy. That's who he is. He plays just like Travis Williams played when he was at Auburn, and Terrius Williams, those two guys. People have asked me, does he transition outside? He's not the classic middle linebacker size, but he's a middle linebacker. He's downhill. That's who he is. And you know, I think that's his role. You know, Owen Popoe, I could see him maybe transition outside a little bit to where you can use some of that. But I think Zakobi McClain is who he is, which is a downhill guy, and you know, he showed that a pretty good bit last year.
Do you remember meeting Bo when he was an infant, or did that come a few years later?
I'm sure at some point I probably met him. I don't know when it was, but having known his dad for, you know, mom and dad for a long time, I'm sure that at some point we'd probably crossed paths, but I don't remember him until it might have been seventh grade, you know, somewhere around in there, probably when they were at Scottsboro.
You know, started throwing 4 or 5 touchdowns a night. Jason's great stuff, brother. Always, I know you're busy. Thank you for your time, man.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason Caldwell again, part of the 24/7 Sports Network.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at Camp Margaritaville LanierIslands.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show wrapping up on a Monday. Appreciate everybody getting in today, including the guest. And it's been a full day of guests on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate Jason Caldwell most recently. Jason Caldwell, he was just with us talking not only Auburn, but also a little UCF as well. As the big story today, UCF has hired Gus Malzahn, former Auburn head coach, as the new head coach down in Orlando. So we talked to Jason a little bit about that, then did a quick tour through the Auburn program that Brian Harsin is now getting off to his first spring practice coming up in about 3.5 weeks, or say about 4 weeks from now. Appreciate Matt Michelle coming on. Also, Orlando Sentinel talking the specifics of UCF from their standpoint, the Gus Malzahn hire at UCF, and then also Gene Sapikoff way back at the bottom of hour one as we went through the Clemson pro day, essentially, the individual workout that Trevor Lawrence had last week. We talked about the next quarterback there, DJ Uiagalelei, who is – potentially, and I've had the same feeling, and Gene actually put it in words, had the same feeling that that Gene did, that it's going to be just a stat-stuffing sort of season, that without a Travis Etienne, or who did Deshaun have? Was it Wayne Gallman and some other just really tough running backs? And that, I mean, nobody who's got a scholarship to play Clemson, you know, play running back at Clemson, you know, can't hack it, but Travis Etienne is as productive as any running back in conference history. So that's what DJ is going to be taking the field with next year. Someone who is lesser than Travis Etienne, probably Wayne Gallman as well. So we talked about DJ and the different approach to the offense and Justin Ross coming back and all of that. So if you missed any of that, folks, get the app from the App Store, SST, Southern Sports Today. You get the app, you push a button, boom, there it is. You hear me talking college football. Also, the podcast, thepodcastpart.com. Just hit subscribe, and it's going to show up on your device every single day. Dan Matthews will be here in just a couple of minutes, but right now I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything, including turning over tables. We have had Jason Budd on before. He works with The Athletic. Is that accurate? I'm sorry, UGASports.com. That's right. He has been with The Athletic before. He's been with the Macon News. He's covered the Georgia program for a few different outlets now. And I read a report of his over the weekend. He went behind the scenes, and he got the HR file on Jeremy Pruitt during his time in Athens. It's a very easy, and it's not a practice I care for, but it's a very easy activity to start taking swings on a guy on his way out the door. That's not the case with Jeremy Pruitt. It got to the point when Pruitt was in Athens. I want to say it was the Friday before the Kentucky game in 2015. Mark Richt, a head coach in the SEC, felt the need to go on Twitter and say, Jeremy Pruitt will be our defensive coordinator tomorrow when we take on Kentucky. He felt it was necessary because of the rumors coming out about Jeremy Pruitt doing what? Turning over tables. That he was so upset that there was no accountability, that the standards were as low as they were, et cetera, et cetera. All of this was the good angle that I was hearing from folks in Athens who said, and this is a quote, sometimes you need a table to be turned over. While that is true, it also appears that there were physical altercations, not with just a table, but with other human beings, including a student trainer who apparently Jeremy Pruitt was just in a bad mood, kicked him off the field, and then as the kid was walking off the field, beamed him in the back of the head with a football. Jason Budd has all of this. Here's the truth about Jeremy Pruitt. He's not someone I want around. Jeremy Pruitt is a bad guy, and there are two other too many other choices who aren't. So that means you don't have to have Jerry. Is he a good coach? Absolutely. He's a national championship winning coordinator twice. An outstanding coach, and he can recruit. And there are so many other positives about him. And he's a bad person, and it permeates. You do not want him around your program, around your players, around anyone else. And those are stories I've gotten from Tuscaloosa, Tallahassee, Knoxville, Athens, almost everywhere he's been. You can talk to somebody afterwards and say, great coach, glad he's gone. He's in the NFL now. So, again, you can read Jason Butt. I think maybe we're going to have him on tomorrow talking about some of the details. But there were a couple of specific incidents where there were no witnesses. This was the damning part to me. While there were no witnesses who could come forward and corroborate the part about Jeremy Pruitt was the one who threw the football that hit the trainer in the back of the head, the review board at the University of Georgia concluded that even with no witnesses, they believe Pruitt did it. That's pretty much saying we know we've got a bad guy in our employ. That is my closing argument brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Chenard and Associates. No matter where you are, folks, if you're in the Deep South, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Chenard and Associates. What up, Dan Matthews?
Last time I checked, there are not very many schools where the defensive coordinator is coming up on his own volition to tell the media that, hey, what happened today with us at practice and not being able to practice because it was too cold, that is never going to happen again at the University of Georgia as long as I'm here, where I'm sure the head coach finally gets wind of it and is like, wait a minute.
Were you covering them when Rick had to make the announcement before Kentucky?
Right, yeah. No, I was there. I remember that. I mean, it was not only that. I mean, it was everything. I mean, completely anything that could go wrong with him did. And then in some cases, if you brought it up, then you were at least knocked down a peg or two by people who said you shouldn't talk.
Yeah, and what Dan, I apologize for interrupting you. What you were talking about, though, is Jeremy Pruitt, they got a practice either canceled or delayed by weather. And Pruitt, talking to the media, is like, we'll get our indoor practice facility. This is the last time that's going to happen. Like a half hour later, the athletic director said, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, no, and it's not going to be because you lit the fire under us, Jeremy. It's going to be because we want to be able to build it. And sure enough, soon enough, the ground was broken when Kirby Smart got into that office, not Jeremy Pruitt. So good for everybody involved. You know, Chuck, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, I guess you could say lasting luster of what Steve Sarkisian was able to do last season at Alabama is starting to help him out now at Texas. He got a huge commitment over the weekend. Malik Murphy, one of the best quarterbacks in the upcoming class of 2022. And what's been the thing about Texas the last few years? The top-tier recruiting has gone down. But you're now not only getting one of the top-tier recruits in the country, you're getting one of the best ones out of the state of California, where you're starting to already hurt teams out there with the roots that Steve Sarkisian already has. Kids are looking at that film, and I got to believe that Murphy's not going to be the last one for this next upcoming class.
Who was it? Quinn Ewers was the number one quarterback in the state of Texas, and he played for the Dragons, the same place that Matt Stafford played, right?
He was Highland Park. Southlake Carroll is where he's at. Yeah,
that's right. You're right.
Greg McElroy there.
And so he decommitted, and we had that big story, and I guess he committed later to the Buckeyes. But it's a nice little rebound there, a nice little pivot, I believe we say, in the professional world for Steve Sarkisian. All right, wraps it up on a Monday, folks, 22 hours. That's all. I'll be back this time tomorrow talking more college football right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. I promise.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.